This is the Valley Outdoors. Great to have you guys with us. We've got Ava here.
I'm here.
Don's here.
I'm here.
And me, I'm here. I'm Eric Olson. I am the host or the co-host or whatever you want to call me with the most, whatever that
you're
might
the
be.
Mostest with the
a lot
mostest.
Of cool stuff. We're going to be talking with Todd Zemke today. He's the National Walleye Tour Champion out of Lake Winnebago and a local Red Wing resident and not far from here. And he's got a pretty cool story, I got to tell you. So if you're a tournament guy or think you want to be a tournament guy, this is a story you're not going to want to miss. Stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors coming right up. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. I'm going to jump right into this. Kind of cool. We got Todd Zemke on today. Yep. I'm super excited to have him on. He's just a normal kickback, laid back guy, but his story is one you guys are definitely going to want to hear. It blew me away when I was talking to him in the pre-interview and asking some questions. You're going to have to stick around to hear him, what exactly was going on. But you're not going to believe it, and it really gives you some...
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, excitement. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So
I mean, he was fishing the lake my grandfather fished his whole life.
Oh, yeah?
And he used to fish it like 3 to 4 nights a week.
Oh.
And but he reef-fished. He was, you know, he came out of Fond du Lac on the south side, and he'd go out to... There's 3 reefs out there, I understand. And,
yep.
And he, with his 15-foot or 18-foot cane poles... For a locator,
yep,
would drive right up on top of him by triangulation and throw an anchor out, and then he would sit there and fish with cane poles.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of fun. I did it with him a few times as a kid.
They still fish with cane poles. In fact, what they'll do is they'll put them out and troll the shallow water when the weeds are up in the summer, and then they just, when it gets weeded up, they just tip the cane pole back, grab the line, clean it off, and put it right back out again.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty crazy.
Yep.
Kind of cool. I'm going out to...
You're going east?
Take part. Yeah, I'm going east. I'm heading out to fish some Lake Michigan area, and we're going to go out and see the cohos are rocking, and the kings, I just got word the kings are moving in.
Okay.
And we're going to go on the, obviously, the east side of Wisconsin.
Yep.
And...
Which port are you going out of?
Port Washington.
Okay.
We've got everything nailed down, ready to rock and roll.
Last time I was out there, we went out of Sheboygan.
Looks like the weather's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
And I was pretty excited when I look at the weather and it wasn't rain on the weekend. It's been windy, but this next stretch looks to be primo. So we should be able to run some baits. Nice part about coho, you can catch them all day long, but also you can catch them without running super deep on downriggers. They definitely, you can hit them on, you know, 20 feet down. So you don't have to worry about having all the paraphernalia deep running. But we will be running downriggers with some deeper plugs, get some kings, and hopefully we can mop up on a couple of those too.
You probably don't know this, but I won the Wisconsin Governor's Opener a few years back catching coho.
I did not know that.
You didn't know that.
No, you didn't. You never share anything with me anymore.
No. Well, I did. It was kind of fun.
It was probably
in the 90s. It's a while back, okay?
Well, it just came to mind. Is that what it is?
You're talking about catching coho, you know. We were catching them in 12 feet. Yep.
Yeah, they do come up shallow.
Literally, we were fishing Rapalas.
Yeah.
You know, 150, 200 feet behind the boat.
Yeah, shallow divers.
Yep.
And That's cool.
Yeah.
Nothing. There is nothing wrong with that. But I'm looking forward to going out there and spending some time just chilling.
Yeah, that's good.
Fishing.
Good time. Hope the wind's down.
Yeah.
It always makes it very nice. But we do have a very nice stretch of weather coming up here in the Midwest here.
Yeah, we're going to go out and fish in the 22-foot Vexus.
Okay.
A friend of mine's got that. And the old 400 Merc on her.
Say hi to our buddy.
Will do that.
Yeah.
I will do
that. I'm heading north. You're heading east. I'm going to be heading north in about a week.
Lots of travel going on in the next couple of days.
So. Well, maybe we'll have some stories.
I hope so. I'm getting a lot of photos.
I'll have some. I don't know if there's going to be any fish involved.
Let's hope they're good ones. And, of course, I hope you guys go out and catch some fish this coming weekend as well. Cool story. I was very optimistic, I guess. It's a weird way. The tribal walleye take on Mille Lacs is down 75% of their total possible take. And that really had wrapped up their fishing with either net or spearing. So that's down from 75,000 pounds. That's what they're set. And the harvest is about 57. So 25% less than their anticipated take. So
is there a particular time limit when they can do that?
Well, it's early on when they're able to get those fish in the areas.
Yep.
And because of the late ice out,
sure.
It caused them not to be able to get the nets out there in time. There's the problem.
Okay.
So, and I apologize. It was 100,000 is their quota. They got 75. So it's a true 25%
reduction.
Able to harvest. So, yeah, kind of an interesting thought there. The last little piece before we take a break here, just for Don, Ava, this is just for Don.
Oh, I can't wait. It's always JFD. Good when it's just for.
JFD, just for Don.
Okay.
Yeah. Angler catches pending state record flathead catfish. That's right, Mike Worley of Fayetteville, Pennsylvania, caught what will be the new state flathead record out of Safe Harbor Dam in Susquehanna. He caught it on a live 12-inch trout. The fish weighed 66 pounds on the scales at the bait shop. And he said that is the previous record was 56 pounds. So he blew by the state record.
10 pounds
10
more.
Pounds.
Ugh.
I have a question
gross.
Here.
Is when are you going to bring in the next one or what?
No, is trout allowed to be a bait?
Yeah. Right. A foot-long trout?
Yeah.
That's legal?
Yeah. I doubt if it is in Minnesota or Wisconsin.
Well, not here. It's not, but.
No.
Pennsylvania's got different.
Evidently.
Different things that they can do.
What is the biggest bait we can use? Do you know?
Probably creek chub.
No.
Sucker?
Well, I mean, for what kind?
Muskie.
Here?
Yeah, here.
Oh, in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get 6, 8, 9, 10 inch, or no, suckers, sorry.
Suckers,
yeah. Live suckers for muskie and pike.
Yeah.
They can be
a foot long.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they will pound them.
Gross.
Oh, yeah.
Gross.
You run them right over the side of the boat when you're doing some casting, and it's like, uh-oh.
No thanks.
Whee! Hang on for dear life. Well, tell you what, we're going to be right back. Todd Zemke's going to be joining us. You're not going to want to miss this story, so hang tight. Coming right up. Welcome back, everybody. And, of course, we always like to have you guys check us out on Facebook. And where else, Don?
On thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Lots of cool stuff and big stuff coming up, Don. Keep teasing it.
It's coming up.
And got an event that you're going to be able to register for.
Yep.
Unlimited times. And
it's called Fish With Us. We've been doing it for 3 years now.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. We have done it before, haven't we?
Yeah.
It's a cool event. It's fun. And, yeah.
Your chance to get in one of our boats.
Yeah.
There's a couple other ones that'll be with us.
Yeah, so. We rotate out and have some fun.
So
we'll catch some walleyes.
Stay tuned.
And
when we get her online, I've got a meeting next week to get that all set up.
Get it all dialed in. Awesome. Well, speaking of excited, and a friend of mine I've known for many, many, many years, a local amazing stick, and as I said, friend and recent National Walleye Tour Champion. It's always good to have that title under your belt, is it not, Todd?
It's very nice to have that, yeah.
Todd Zemke, I'm glad to have you with us, Todd. I wanted to get you as close to after the win as possible, and the opportunity opened up this week, and I was excited to be able to get you here. What can you say? What was the first thing you felt when you're on stage and they said, and Todd Zemke, you are the winner of the Winnebago National Walleye Tour event?
Boy, I tell you, Eric, I don't really think it's even set in yet. it's really hard to explain. I don't really feel like I went through a lot of emotions. I mean, I thought I would cry, very excited, very happy. I think it's maybe because it was going to be the only event I was going to do this year. So I wasn't prepared or, too pumped up thinking that I was going to win this tournament. But
well, also, Winnebago is one of those tournaments that the weather can kick it. You've got amazing local sticks out there. Jimmy Hughes is one of them, a perennial favorite. You've got guys that literally live on that body of water. And it also can be complicated because if you have a lake bite, meaning the Lake Winnebago chain, the tournaments, you involve Winnebago, Poygan, Butamore, and the river. So you've got multiple things going on. And it's not easy. You make one call in the lake, and then you're going to try and drive the river with all the no-wake zones to get to the other end of the system. It's not easy by any means. So you got to make some pretty interesting decisions.
Yeah, that is so true. I think I've fished three tournaments on that system now, and I find myself I'm never on the Winnebago Lake. I just can never seem to figure anything out there for 2 days in a row. It's a lot of running and gunning. This time I did find some fish on a little underwater point that was close to the river. And they were nice fish. And so day one, I went there, said I have to go here and give it an hour and a half or an hour. And but what happened is we had a northeast wind, and it dirtied the water up really bad and dropped it like 7 degrees in there, and I didn't get a bite. So I knew I had to take off and make my run all the way to Poygan.
Yeah. And that's what happens. So before we go too far, let's back up a little bit. Now, you didn't fish the first event that was on Erie, right?
Spring Valley.
Sorry, Spring Valley was the early event. My bad. Then it's this event was next. And you didn't fish the Spring Valley event. It's always kind of the kickoff event, which is kind of fun, but it's also a challenge because it's basically ounces. And you said, all right, I'm just going to sign up for this one and call it a day, right? So you and I talked off air a little bit, and you said, I'm only going to fish this event. Why were you only going to fish that event? What's going on in your world? What were you going to be doing?
Oh, just had the final plans drawn to build a new house. They just actually came in today. So I was going to just work on the house this summer and then do my regular job, which is construction as well.
Yep.
So I was going to focus on that, and now I really feel like I need to go to the next one in Pickstown.
Now, the funny part about this, Don, this is what I laugh at. You originally had your boat listed for sale, right?
Yes, I did. Yes.
And you're going to be done for a while until you had your house built and everything else, right?
That's right, yes. And I did have a guy call me 2 days before I left and wanted my boat, and I said, well, you're going to have to wait a week now.
Now the price went up because it's a champion boat.
That's right.
So really, Todd, when it comes down to it, it really is a matter of if you really want to participate in the sport, you know what? Give it a shot. You owe it to yourself. If you think you've got what it takes, you've got some people that you can work with and get some information. I suspect you had a pretty good bunch of guys or a couple guys you work with on that event.
Just one other guy.
Perfect. Who are you working with?
Tim Abraham.
Oh, yeah, I know Tim. Good guy. Yep.
Yes.
he's been in it a while as well, and that's a big thing. Having veterans in it, that's a big thing. When you find fish, you don't beat up on them. And the problem is when you have inexperienced tournament anglers, you get in a group, you work together to share information. In the pre-fish period, you'll find fish, and then these guys will go in, and then they'll keep hitting it every day.
Yes.
And you don't do that. So it's one of the no-nos, but having the right people with you and trusting your guy that you're working with and sharing that information to find other spots is a big thing. So kudos. Kudos to you guys. That's pretty cool. So last day you're heading out. It's a two-day format. You're heading out. What happened? You got a good bag. You came in early on day one. What happened on day two? Now you're in the lead. You had 19 pounds, which is an outrageous bag on Lake Winnebago. That's huge. Beyond huge. Ginormous. What happened on day two?
Day two, I think I was pretty nervous. Even after day one, because the wind was supposed to blow pretty hard out of the south, and it was gonna bang right into the, you know, blow right into the area that I was fishing, and I was fishing really shallow in weeds, and I thought, you know, it was gonna be tough to control the boat. The fish probably were not gonna be in the weeds with the waves blowing the weeds all around and stuff, and so. When we got up there right away, the wind wasn't quite so bad, so we were able to get three fish in before the wind really picked up and made it tougher. So,
which is good. Now, back up a second. What were you doing? This is the part that kind of it surprised me. This is a big thing for me. It surprised me, and it changes people's minds about walleye fishing in a big way, because Winnebago will shatter your dreams in a heartbeat, because when you find out what somebody did, you're like, you got to be kidding. So what were you doing?
I was pulling crawler harnesses with night crawlers and spinners.
In how deep of water?
It was, well, it would like 2 feet on my graph. So, you know, 3 feet, 3 to 3.5 feet.
Weightless, basically, right?
Pardon me?
You weren't running any weight on it or a split shot?
No,
maybe?
no weight. 13, yep. 13 feet. From the hooks to the offshore planer board. No weight.
That's crazy. Okay, so yeah. You got three fish in. You're thinking, okay, we're doing okay so far. Then the panic mode started setting in a little bit?
It did a little bit, but I had told myself that if it did shut down by the weeds, that the fish should just move out just a little bit further, maybe away from the weeds. So we did end our day in like 4 feet of water, and we were able to pick up a couple of nice ones out a little ways away from the edge of the weeds.
Boy, you went deep. You really went deep in that, didn't you?
Yeah, right.
I got to tell you, Todd, that's impressive, because that shallow bite can be very fickle. That's the spot you're on, I think, was, if not the spot I troll, pretty close to it, and it makes it difficult when the wind comes up, and that lake is about as fickle as it can get. 1 minute you're rocking, and the next minute, which way did they go?
And right.
It's spooky. So you got the last fish. How long did the last two come? Quickly, or was it right coming down to the wire? You're like, we better get another one in here pretty quick.
Well, I mean, we had five, you know.
You have two extras, five. Right?
Pardon me?
You could have two extra. I mean, you could have five. You had seven fish, or is it six? And then bring your best five. Yep. So you have one to spare.
Yep. We had five, probably around 1 o'clock. And then 10 minutes before we had to go, we picked up an upgrade, a 20-incher with 10 minutes to go. And I believe that fish is the one that put me over the top.
Plenty of time to go.
Right.
Isn't that the way it goes, though, Todd? You're like, yes. Okay, we got this day one. I'm in early. Day two, come on, you got to be kidding me. Come on, come on, come on. And it was 7 pound difference from your first day to your second day.
Right.
So immediately you're thinking, the other guy has to get this to catch me. You get one. All of a sudden you got your five, and you're like, uh-oh, he's only going to need this much to catch me. It's possible he could have done it. What were you feeling going back to the weigh-in at the end of the day? What were your thoughts?
I thought I could potentially be in third place. You know, I mean, I figured Max Wilson was going to get his fish, and Tom's a great stick as well. You know, I thought for sure he would come in. You know, everyone seems to maybe not do as well on day two as what they do on day one.
Yep.
But I you know, I thought, oh, Tom, he might come. He had 17 pounds. He was only 2 pounds behind me. I thought for sure he would probably get 15 pounds. So yep. I kind of said, well, I might be in second place. I kind of already had that mindset.
Was that Chemos?
Pardon me?
Was that Chemos? Tommy Chemos?
Tom Wynn.
Oh, Wynn. Got it. Yep.
Yep.
So you get up there on stage, and, of course, it's starting to get narrowed down. And did they held your bag?
Yes, they did. Yep.
So if you're not familiar with this, when you do a weigh-in, what ends up happening is if you're the leader, they'll hold you back until the very end. It makes for a really dramatic.
Yes.
When I went to Oahu, they did the same thing. They had the black bag. They don't tell you who's doing what. And you stand up on stage, and then the last guy that could win was, in my case, Garrick McComsey. Amazing local stick. He's got these, I'm looking at pretty good-sized fish. And then his overs were, or his unders were not, they were dinky.
Oh.
But, you know, I'm thinking, oh, boy, here we go. But when they call it, is that not the best feeling in the world?
It was a great feeling. I did see Tom's fish in the tank in front of me, and he thought he had 12 pounds, and I looked at his fish, and I said, no, that's more than 12 pounds. Now I'm nervous. And then when they said 14, I mean, I knew I had close to 12 pounds, maybe 12 and a half, and then when he said that I needed, I think he said I needed 11 pounds, 15 ounces to take the lead, and it sat on the scale and bounced back and forth between 12 pounds, 5 ounces, and 12 pounds, 9 ounces for the longest time before he locked it in. And like, I did raise my fists on the stage before it even locked in.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was pretty confident it was going to happen.
Well, apparently you're not selling your boat, number one. Number two, you're going to fish the next tournament and maybe another one after that, as I'm understanding, right?
That's correct. I believe if I do fairly well in Pickstown, and, you know, if you don't fish the first tournament, it's really tough to make the championship. So I believe I'm going to probably have to be in the top 20 at least in the next tournament for points to make the championship.
Well, we'll be pulling for you. We're proud of you. You did a great job. And guess what? They can't take it away from you, and that's one of those things you'll remember for the rest of your life. So hold it dear and move on to the next one, because you'd be amazed how much confidence it definitely brings to you. So thanks again, Todd. That was awesome. And good luck out there, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric.
All right. We'll be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Heck of a cool story, though, huh, Don?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he's right. It really hasn't hit him yet.
Well, the whole time he wasn't expecting anything, really.
Right.
First, wasn't even going to do it. Second, then maybe third.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah.
And that's why I say it is so tough, because you could come out with 19 pounds, which is outrageous weight for that body of water.
Right.
Crazy.
I think he was preparing not to disappoint himself. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's exactly
well. He went into it with the right mind.
Yeah. It's like no,
the right mindset though.
Yeah,
just kind of hey, I'll just.
He seems to be
whatever.
Really.
When I went away, he was very laid back. When I went out, I thought, well, I'll do okay. I'm not going to do great. I came in the first day. I was in third place. I went, I think I can win this thing.
You know what I like to know is over history, and these tournaments been going on for
a long time.
You know, 25, 30 years maybe. I wonder how many times the person leading holds the lead in the second day.
Bell to bell, basically, what you call, or wire to wire.
Yeah.
It does not happen very often.
No, it just seems to me that every time I'm following one of these tournaments, that the person in the lead just can't match the first day. And it's so tough to hold on to that, because there's guys that are I'm sure when you're on the water, you got to feel like these other guys, you know, they're banging a couple of big ones, and that can just, one can take you right over the top.
So. I did it when we won the championship, the Walmart Walleye Tour, the MWC event up at TI.
Yeah.
My partner and I, Jason and I, did that. We won wire to wire. We started out, we had 25 pounds first day. Next day, we had 19 and a half pounds. Next day, we had 18, and we won by probably 3 pounds. But that's one of those rare situations.
Where you held the lead the whole time.
Right. Yeah, and you know, and this is the tough part about this, because our bite was good, but all of a sudden everybody moved in. We had 6 boats that moved in on us. We only had 2 up there to start, and everybody was in the way, and it was causing problems. And, so it's a matter of, okay, why are you doing this? We're in the lead spot. And we ended up, okay, we got a fish. How much is the second place guy going to have to get? So all day long, you're like, oh, okay, we got another one. Yeah. We got 3. We got 4. Okay, now we got 5. We can get 2 others. We better get an upgrade because they're going to have to get this weight. And the best part was it was jig fishing for the other guys who were second place, and the wind was blowing like a mother.
Yeah.
So we knew it was going to be a struggle bus for those guys, and we were trolling, doing a hand lining thing, and we knew we had a better opportunity. We pulled in. How'd you guys do? They shook their head, and right away we knew
you're okay.
Yeah,
but it's no different. It's no different in a golf tournament. You know, you watch the pros, and very rarely does the unless you got massively
control the.
But you guys, there's a reason for it. The reason is that you don't know if you're going to be able to do it, so you get secure and comfortable, and like, oh, don't throw it away. So. There you have it.
I get it.
Well, thanks for joining us, guys. For Ava, Don, and myself, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. Join us next week. But for now, we're gone. See ya.